Happy Wednesday morning, last day of the month. Yep, the 30th. Man, I'm excited to share what the Lord's been showing me, and excited to share with you guys something I got to experience last Friday night. Let's pray, and then we will jump right into the word of the Lord. Father, we honor you today. God, I pray that you will forgive us for all of our sins. I pray that you will help us. I pray that you will continue to speak to each one of us individually. And today, Lord, I pray when we're speaking that you will give us a word that will help each one of us to be established in our faith. It'll help each one of us to grow closer to you. And more than anything, Yahweh, I pray that you help us give you the glory that you so rightfully deserve. You are a good, good Father. You're exactly who you say that you are, Lord, and we honor you today. We thank you for being our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, and on the third day, you allowed him to raise from the grave. God, I pray today for that same power, that same miracle working power to be on the inside of each one of us and the people that will hear this message, that we can get closer to you. And as we get closer to you, we bring glory and people can see our light, and that it brings you the praise and the worship that you deserve. Today, Lord, I pray that you will help us understand, help us receive. I know sometimes it's not the easiest to understand, but Lord, your way is perfect. And we rely on you today, and that settles everything in our spirit. We believe these things by faith. We consider them done. We pray them in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Scripture today comes out of John, St. John chapter 14. I'll just start at verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1. What I want to talk about today is something that even at times in my life, I want to put Jesus in a place where Jesus was absolutely God, 100% God, but he was 100% man at the same time. And you may say, Brother Alan, you can't be 100% something and 100% God. Well, Jesus can. I agree, you and me have to be certain things, but God can do whatever God wants to do. But we want to put Jesus in a place, I do, in my life, especially early on in my faith, but even now sometimes, where Jesus is this person, this miracle sent from God, where he's kind and he's patient and he's merciful and he's powerful and he's loving and he wants to heal people's hearts and he wants to do whatever it takes to get to people. And he wants to go against the culture, but he's there to forgive time and time and time again. The very man that would betray him, that would allow them to take him to the cross, he would eat with and he would show compassion to and he would show mercy to. But then I want to put God as somebody, I guess, that I would describe as like Zeus or God in heaven that has these lightning bolts that's ready to throw down at me at my first mistake. When I think of God, I think of God as somebody that's judge, and I mean judge in the sense that he's just waiting to smack down the gavel. He's just waiting to say guilty. He's just waiting to say punishment. He's just waiting to say, I condemn you. And I separate the two to such a degree that Jesus is merciful and loving, and God is judgmental and almost doesn't necessarily desire to condemn me, but it is just waiting on my every mistake. He's waiting on me to mess up. And in John chapter 14, verse 1 through probably around 8 or 9, Jesus tells us, don't do that. He tells us, listen, if you've seen me, then you've seen God. And brothers and sisters, today I want to encourage you and to let you know that God is not sitting in heaven waiting to condemn you. God is not sitting in heaven waiting to throw down judgment on me. God is not sitting in heaven watching Sister Alex, and the first time she makes a mistake is going to send pain her way. The second time she makes a mistake, the 100th time she makes a mistake, the 1,000th time she makes a mistake, he's not sitting up there waiting to condemn. The Bible tells us that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, forever making intercession for you and me. But that doesn't mean that God's wanting to strike us down and Jesus is saying, hold on, Father, don't do that. It does mean that Jesus is praying and his blood was shed on our behalf. And that's another reason that you and I should worship him. So in John chapter 14, verse 1, we have a couple disciples. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and we have a couple disciples ask questions that I think are so, so important nowadays. The Bible says in verse 1, this is Jesus talking, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." This was never meant to be a scripture that preachers or pastors pray at a funeral or speak at a funeral to help encourage someone that's just lost somebody. Are there words of encouragement? Absolutely. But it is meant to tell you and me to not have a heavy heart. In other words, to stop allowing the enemy to beat us down with condemnation or making us feel like we'll never be enough. Jesus sitting here in John, the first few verses of chapter 14 of John, he says, listen, don't be worried. Don't be troubled. In other words, don't have a heavy heart. If you believe in God, believe also in me. I'm telling you that I've done these things for you. And if I say it, it's the truth. Have you ever heard somebody when you're asking them a question or they're in a conversation, they say something and they say, my word is good, or my word is bond. Meaning, listen, if I said it, then that should be good enough for you. My word should be good enough for you. And if you and I today can take the word of our brother or our parents or our kids or our loved ones or our boss at work, then you and I should take the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when he says, let not your hearts be troubled, he simply means stop worrying. Stop having a heavy heart, because I've went and did something for you and I want to tell you about it, not to brag or to boast, but I want to bring you comfort. It's okay to have a heavy heart, but don't stop there. Keep coming back to Jesus and allow him to comfort you. You see, today, brothers and sisters, I'm not a person that thinks I'm so spiritual that I don't have some bad moments, or I don't have a bad few hours, or I don't have some times in my life that my heart is absolutely broken. But what I have learned is don't stop at the brokenness. Go to the one that made all things better. Go back to the one that has the power to mend your heart back together. Go back to the one that says, when my word is spoken, that my word is good. Word is bond. And Jesus not only told us that he loved us, he showed us. Do you have people in your life that say they love you or say they care for you, but their actions say everything else? The old saying, actions do speak louder than words, is 100% true in our household. I do care what you say coming out of your mouth, but I care what your actions say. I care what you do to show me that you love me. I care what you do to show me that you forgave me. And we have the absolute perfect example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when he says, don't worry, don't be sad, don't be troubled, because in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not true, I would have never told you. Brothers and sisters, today, God doesn't have the ability to lie. It's not on the inside of him. His character is too pure and he's too holy. And Jesus, being the express image of God, doesn't have the ability to lie. He only has the ability to do what the Father has the ability to do, and that's to speak truth. In verse 5, Brother Thomas said to him being Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Verse 7, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Verse 8, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Philip, one more time. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Last verse, verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Have I not been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father. Thomas had a good question and Philip had a good question. And Jesus' response back to them was not to condemn them. It was not to belittle them. It was not to make them feel like they were not enough. When he says back to them, listen, have I not been with you so long that you don't know who I am? And Jesus, I love him for this, did not stop there. He still answered the question. And he told the disciples that day, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Today, brothers and sisters, anything that you or me believe about God the Father, that we cannot find in the person of Jesus Christ, I want you to challenge that. If you think God is in heaven with lightning bolts, and I want you to show me where Jesus is on earth with lightning bolts ready to condemn. What I'm saying to you today is Jesus is the exact express image of God the Father in a bodily form. And we can't say that Jesus is loving, merciful, and kind, and God is judge, and God is hard, and God is ruthless, and God is all these negative things. We have to say, God, if I see mercy in Jesus, then I see mercy in you. God, if I see forgiveness in Jesus, then I see forgiveness in you. We can't take the two and separate them to such a degree that we believe Jesus is good and God is bad. We can't say that Jesus is all love and God is just ready to hurt us. We've got to believe today, brothers and sisters, that God is exactly who he says that he is. And he says, listen, if you want to know something about me, find it in the person of Jesus Christ. It's a heavy statement and it's a heavy thought, but I'm telling you today, if you want to know more about God, then find out more about Jesus. If you want to know how God reacts, then watch how Jesus reacts. If you want to know what God does with sin, then look at a man called Jesus, get down low and look in the eyes of a woman that was caught in the act of adultery. Many scholars believe that she was butt naked. She had absolutely not an article of clothing on, and Jesus got down in the dirt with her just to let her know there's a better way. Today, God wants you and me to know that there's a better way in him, that he's not up there trying to condemn us or to hurt us or destroy us, or he's ever given up hope on us. Today, God wants you to know that he still believes in you. He still knows that you can be forgiven. He still knows that you can accept his redemptive work. He wants you to know, if you want to know him, look at the one called Jesus. Last Friday night, my sister-in-law's school, Keika Kahuta Arrows Kingdom Academy, put on an event at Salem Baptist Church. I think it was from 6:30 to 8:30. And they got, the whole point of the whole service was just to praise and worship God. And you may say, an hour and a half of praise and worship, man, it felt like 3 minutes. I'm telling you, it flew by. But before we began to praise and to do worship, there were a couple young ladies that got up to share their testimony. There was another young man that got up to read scripture and to share what it meant to them. And I watched these one young man and three young ladies talk about how they had dealt with body shaming, with feeling like they were never enough, with feeling like they could never fit in, with feeling like that they had gone too far the wrong way to be redeemed or to be forgiven. And then my brother got up and shared a word. And then my friend Stacelyn and his daughter and a few other people from church praise and worship team, I say they put on a show, but all they really did was open a doorway to heaven. And I don't know, I'd say there's a few hundred people there. I don't know how many people were there. It was just me and God most of the time. But we began to do praise and worship, and people would cry and people would dance, and some people I believe that had never raised their hands in church before began to express their appreciation to the one that knew no sin yet became sin, so that you and I could be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I began to see people realize that Jesus is who he says that he is, that God's not a God trying to condemn them all the time or beat them over the head. They believed that Jesus was good, and these young women would share these powerful testimonies how they would receive the love of God, and that was the only thing that could allow them to receive forgiveness, and the love of God was the only thing that could make them whole again. And these young 15, 16, 17-year-old women and this 17-year-old young man was willing to share their experiences. And the only way they were able to be so brave and to be so anointed and be so filled with the Spirit of the living God is because they stopped separating God as bad and Jesus as good. They said, Jesus, if you're good, that means the Father's good. Jesus, if you're merciful, that means the Father's merciful. And they allowed Jesus to come on the inside of them. And yes, they were nervous, and yes, they were scared, but they released their testimony, and we overcame, and we were able to celebrate with them, and we were able to experience something with them because they believed that Jesus was good, because they believed maybe their parents didn't love them, or maybe they had a messed up childhood, or maybe their parents had made some really, really bad mistakes, but they could see the love of Jesus, and they saw it, and they received it, and it forever changed their life. Today, brothers and sisters, when Jesus was asked these questions by Thomas and Philip and all the disciples, he would answer them in the best way that he knew how, and that was a way with love and mercy and compassion. And at the end of the day, Jesus said, words are not enough. Let me go to the cross. Let me die for you. You didn't even ask me to die for you. You don't deserve it, but I want to give it anyway. And we forget sometimes that God the Father orchestrated the whole thing. We forget that the same God we want to make as judge and maybe bad or maybe wanting to, that we're scared of to condemn us, or we're scared of that he's going to hurt us. That same God that we do that to, that I do that to, is the same God that said, son, go get my kids. Go die for them because they need you and you're the only way. In closing today, there's certain things, if I can have a relationship with Jesus, that we'll have boldness to pray, we'll have boldness to ask. Sometimes when we go to Chattanooga or wherever, we need my dad to let out our little dog, Teddy. He does a good job taking care of Teddy, by the way. Not as good as Alex, but he does a good job. And when we need my dad to take out Teddy, it, for some ridiculous reason, sometimes like I don't want to bother him, or I think he's taking a nap or whatever. But there's always one person that will jump up and say, listen, I'll call him. It doesn't bother me if he's taking a nap, or it doesn't bother me if he's busy. It doesn't bother me if he has other things going on. And that's Isabel. This 9-year-old little girl realizes she has such a relationship with her grandpa, with her papa Steve, that she's not ashamed, she's not scared, she's not worried, she's none of those things. If anything, she's excited to call him. She's excited to have a conversation with him. She doesn't focus on maybe it's bothering him, or maybe he can't right now, or maybe all these different possibilities. She just knows that the bond is so strong that if she asks him for anything, that he'll do it if he has the power to do it. What could that 9-year-old little girl teach you and me? Our Savior has the ability to heal us, to strengthen us, to forgive us, to do all these things. Yet sometimes we don't want to ask because we get in our own way. We overthink it. You see, I challenge that when people tell me, well, I overthought this or I overthink this situation. And I want to encourage you and to let you know today that I believe that you and me underthink it. I don't think we play the story all the way through, because if we think we don't deserve God's grace or his love, he said we did. If we think that maybe he's forgiven us too many times, he says that he'll continue to forgive us and throw our sins as far as the east is from the west. You see, we underthink it because we've got to play the story all the way through. We've got to depend on the relationship that he said that he wants to have with us. What he did for us, his actions are more than sufficient. He said, listen, I'm going to make some mansions for you. And if I go, I'm coming back to you again. But while I'm up there, you can pray to God the Father. And if you ask anything in my name, then he'll be sure to give it to you. I'm praying for you because you've been forgiven. I'm praying for you because you've been redeemed. I'm praying for you because I love you. My 9-year-old daughter knows her Papa Steve loves her and she'll ask him for anything. There is no shame. Absolutely zero shame in her game. You say, Brother Alan, what does that have to do with the Word of God? Jesus told you and me to be like these little children. Why did Jesus tell us to be like those little children? He wanted us to lose all inhibitions. He wanted us to lose all things that we thought we knew a better way. He wanted us to take our hands off of it and allow him to do it. One thing I've never heard Isabel do is tell my dad what door to go in to let Teddy out. I've never heard my son tell Papa Steve how to do this or how to do that when he comes and lets the dog out. Never, not one time. It's just, hey, can you let the dog out? And then they start joking around about something else. What if you and me had that kind of willingness to talk to God? That we said, God, I don't care how you do it, but this is what we ask for. God, I know I messed up about an hour ago, but God, I know I need your forgiveness. What if we could be like that 9-year-old little girl? I believe the scripture tells us to. I believe the scripture, when it tells us to be like little children, that's exactly what it means. It means to go after him again and again and again. God wants us to believe everything that we can find in Jesus, every act of mercy and grace that we find in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is who the Father is, literally. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank you today. I thank you that your ways are better than our ways and your thoughts are above our thoughts. I thank you today, God. And I pray for an anointing to come on each one of us that we can and shall be like that 9-year-old little girl. God, make us like Isabel. Well, we can ask you for anything. She's not ashamed. She's not scared and she's not nervous. God, give us that spirit like a child. And God, when we ask you, give us faith to believe and faith to receive. Yahweh, I pray for a healing for us emotionally as a group, Lord, that we can know that you're who you say that you are, that we don't separate Jesus's goodness from your goodness, Yahweh, that we know that both of you are good all at the same time. And God, I know sometimes it's hard to understand, but this day we say yes to your revelations, yes to your mercy, yes to your grace, yes to your love. We believe you, Jesus, when you said, if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. We believe these things by faith, and we consider them done, and we honor you today. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.